Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and Joe talking a little football futures, perhaps this hour, unless Joe brings up something else. I don't know. He brought up Go Barefoot Day, so happy Go Barefoot Day to you. happy Olives Day, National Olive Day. I don't like olives, so I'm out. You got a fish market?
No, I was doing a show last fall with Camp Stewart and George Kurtz, and I don't know how we got to talking about foods, but you know, I mentioned that, you know, like, I bought some salmon at the fish store, and you know, George Kurtz took issue with me because he was like, where else would you buy fish but at the fish store? So it just became like a kind of a running gag that they give me grief over. So
yeah, that's a very Italian thing, and a New York thing, but also an Italian thing. You go to a specific place to buy fish. Now maybe that's true throughout the country. Other people listening are like, well, you just go to the supermarket and buy fish.
Right, but right. And go to the fish
shop. There is a specific section, especially for New York hardcore Italians. There's a fish place. It's Christmas Eve. We got to do seven fishes. I have to go to the fish store to get it.
Yes.
It's Easter. Mm-hmm. I got to load up on fish because that's what we do. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, you're right. It's probably more an Italian thing. And, you know, me personally, I walk into a fish store. If it smells like fish in there, I'm out of there. Because to me, that means your fish isn't fresh. So I guess that was the point that I was trying to bring. So, yeah, I'll try to teach you a couple of things there, Mr. Blue.
That's right. You know. Yeah. Like, I'm not Italian. So, and I'm also not a tremendous.
And I'm not holding that against you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Likewise, that you're not Irish. So
there you go. I'm married to a half Irish girl, so that's cool.
Well, there you go.
Well, the Irish
half,
by marriage.
Good half of her.
Yes.
The good half of her.
Exactly.
Irish. So yeah, but in general, I'm not a huge seafood eater, but I had a little bit of tried a little bit of sushi last night. It was delightful hanging out with the family. So, all right, let's talk a little bit. Let's do a little bit of football futures. I did some with Cam last week, but we can bounce around a little bit to different teams. I want to get a sense at this point. It's like I've said on shows prior. I can talk myself into just about any team at this time of year and, you know, give you a little positive insight as to what this team might be doing. As I've said openly, I can't do that for the Dolphins and I can't do that for the Giants. I think Vegas has caught on to the whole Dolphins thing because their total right now sits at 4.5. So I think people know that they are tanking. I think I saw there was one team that we went over recently where their schedule just starts out off so brutally. I think it's Tampa, again, is in a really bad spot with their schedule because they don't play a home game for 7 weeks. So people are expecting a nice bump maybe for Jameis because of the addition of Bruce Arians, but their schedule starts out that they host the Niners, then go to the Panthers, then host the Giants. But on September 29th starts a string where they're at the Rams, at the Saints, go to London, sacrificing a home game for the Panthers, then a bye week, then at Tennessee, and then at Seattle. And then they come home November 10th, Arizona. So from September 22nd until November 10th, they have zero home games.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, let's take a look. This is kind of fun to do. So, you know, week one, you want to do this? We'll just week one against San Francisco, win or loss.
So,
home to San Francisco.
First, this according to FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll do the numbers right here.
All right, sure.
They're over the total is 6.5. So let's do it one by one. Hosting the Niners. That is a hard one right out of the gate.
Right, because it might be 90 degrees.
The Niners are better on paper, but that is right. I've heard Booger McFarland stated openly that it's a big advantage because of the heat. I'll try to play it positive. I'll give the Bucks an opening week win, even though I think like they are terrible on week one openers. I want to look back, but I remember that. I'll try to look for that stat somewhere. Let me even make a note of it. Tampa week one. I think they've been really bad in week one, but I'll give them this one. So that's a W. Go to Carolina. That's a loss, right?
I agree. Yes. And then they win against the Giants. So they're 2-1.
Yeah. Go G-men. Then they go to the Rams, loss. They go to the Saints, loss, even though they beat the Saints in week one last year. So I'm contradicting myself. Remember that 48-40 win that knocked everybody out of the survivor pool in week one? All right, so they're 2-3. Then they host the Panthers in London. What do you think? Not a huge believer in the Panthers this year.
Me neither. I could see them winning this game. I'll see them splitting the season series, so they're 3-3.
3-3 going into the bye week. Then we got at Tennessee. It's an L.
Loss. Yeah.
At Seattle. That's an L. They're 3-5 right now.
3-5.
Then they host Arizona. You want to give them that one?
I give them a win, so they're 4-5. That'll be a close game.
Saints. Yeah. They host the Saints. You want to split the season series there, or they take an L?
I think I'll give them the L. Yep. I don't know about you. You would split it?
I'm with you. So far, we're in agreement.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
That's close. But then they go to Atlanta.
So what's their record after this loss in New Orleans?
It was 4-6.
What do we have them at? Right. Okay.
4-6. So they go to Atlanta. That's a loss.
They lose. Yeah. They go to Atlanta and lose. Yeah.
At Jacksonville.
Very close game.
They haven't won a road game yet. You want to give them one?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, we'll be generous. Yeah. So what are they, 5-7 now?
That's right.
They lose the next game.
Colts.
To the Colts.
They're hosting the Colts. They're going to lose that one. Yeah. They go to Detroit. You want to be generous? They give them another road win in December.
Okay.
We're going to give them two road wins in December. That doesn't seem likely. I'm going to give them another loss. Then they host.
Okay, so that's 5-9, right?
Yeah. Then they host Houston and Atlanta. They're not going to be better than either of those.
And lose and lose. Yeah.
Right. So I'll even be generous and give them one of those last two. Because maybe Atlanta rests a bunch of guys.
Right.
We have them at 6 wins. That's under.
And
we were being generous the whole way through.
Yes, we were.
So I think we were being generous. We gave them a road win. Maybe they get a cup. I gave them a home. I gave them maybe a win that they shouldn't have. I think they'll be – this team has come in last place in the division 7 of the last 8 seasons. General manager still employed, by the way, I would note. Odd to me. They made some changes. They obviously released Gerald McCoy, and they pick up Ndamukong Suh. A little bit of money saved technically there because they owed McCoy money over 3 years. Sue is just a 1-year deal. So
6 wins.
I think Tampa.
Jameis Winston done in Tampa?
It's a great question.
I think
there,
so.
There are
6 wins?
There are. It really will. But can Jameis play well and have them be 6-10? Is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, who's the head coach? I forget his name. I'm drawing a blank. But they have a connection, so maybe Arians gives him a pass if he thinks he's playing, you know, better than the 6 wins, you know, shows.
It's really not up to Arians though. It's really going to be up to Jason Lick, the general manager, and the ownership because. Now Jameis is at the end. Tampa and Tennessee are approaching huge seasons. They have to decide whether or not these quarterbacks are for the long-term future of the team. You get the sense from afar, for obvious reasons, because Mariota has proven to be a good citizen. He's just been banged up. That Tennessee believes in Mariota more than Tampa believes in Jameis. But we'll see. I'm getting the sense
I personally don't believe in Jameis.
I'm not a big believer. I think he's talented, but sometimes this position goes beyond talent, right? You have to have a head for it.
Yes.
You have to be able to handle yourself in pressure situations, and leadership, all that kind of stuff. I do think that some players rally around him, but after his fifth year in the organization, if they don't play particularly well, Jameis kept his nose clean all last year, so I'll give him a check mark for that. But he was also hurt a bunch of the year, kept throwing interceptions. He's not a good decision maker at all times. He's talented, not always a good decision maker. And I think that will be a tough one.
I say if they win six games, despite his relationship with Arians and whatnot, I think they win six games, he's gone. Because you're right. I mean, your wallet's going to talk. And I really don't see him as a guy that, you know, built the team around. You know, I mean, I think he's not a bust, but he hasn't developed into the type of quarterback that I think you expected. The leader. Yeah. That's the key.
Yeah. So since we're talking about it, why don't we jump over to Tennessee? It's a really good discussion, by the way. The Jameis Mariota thing we'll bring up probably throughout this preseason. So we'll jump over to Tennessee right now to see what their schedule looks like. You know, obviously they lose Matt LaFleur, the offensive coordinator last year. He's now the head coach of the Packers. And you've got Mike Vrabel there, and they made some new additions to the coaching staff. So
they got a tough early part of the schedule.
Their first-round pick was Jeffrey Simmons. He had offseason surgery to repair a torn ACL and is in danger of missing the entire 2019 season. There's no way he plays to start. He could be the IR designated to return guy. That would give him probably, doing back of the envelope math, that's probably 8 months to heal. It's a defensive lineman, defensive tackle. Do you risk it? I don't know. I wouldn't risk it personally, but we'll see what the Titans decide to do. So Jack Conklin had an ACL surgery, one of their tackles. Unclear if he's going to be ready for the season opener. Just setting a couple of major injury news to rest.
Yeah.
Mariota will hopefully be healthy week one, where they host the Cleveland Browns. The Browns with all the expectations. People are going to be fired up, putting money on the Browns. And they got to go into Tennessee. Not an easy place. I have been a Titans truther for the last several years. I admit that. They did go over the 8.5 win total that Vegas set for them last year and had a relatively disappointing season at 9-7 and missed the playoffs because they lost to the Colts in week 17. So that's how they set up last year. I was disappointed in them. I thought they could make it to the Super Bowl. Clearly, they fell way short, especially offensively. There was a Deion Lewis, Derrick Henry. I wouldn't call it a team controversy, but certainly controversy amongst fantasy experts and why didn't they use Henry earlier. But let's go game by game. They are at the Browns. Excuse me. They're not hosting the Browns. They go to Cleveland. What do you think?
This is a tough one, but I almost want to give them the win. I think Cleveland is a little too full of themselves, but
is it Cleveland though, is it the people the people analyzing Cleveland?
It's probably the people analyzing, but then you tend to start believing what is being said about you.
Yeah.
Maybe this could be a nice smack in the face for the Browns. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're going to give him the L. I'll defer to you on this one. You're going to give him the L.
Yeah.
I
was going to give them the win. Yeah. What do you think? What was your gut?
I'll let you go.
What was your gut on that?
The next tiebreaker I'll take, but you take that one.
So
I'll
give them the win
with a loss because it's a road game, but we'll give them the win here.
Yeah.
Now they host the Colts. So week two, hosting the Colts. The Colts dominate the Titans. But this is a home game, and it would be a big home game if they're coming off a win against the Browns. So what say you?
Right. I say they lose. Right. I know that I'm not supposed to, but I'm going to say lose.
I'll take the tiebreaker here, and I'm going to give them the win. I think they actually finally beat the Colts. So they're 2-0. Right. Then they go to Jacksonville. Loss or win at Jacksonville?
I'm going to go win.
All right. They are 3-0.
I'm crazy. Yeah.
3-0. Now,
until they get to Atlanta.
They go to Atlanta. Yeah. There's their first loss. That's tough. I think Atlanta's going to be really good. I do. I think Atlanta has a chance to win their division. So, and they're pretty good at home. So Matty Ice, my boy, gets the first W, gives them their first L. Then they host the Buffalo Bills, the Josh Allen-led Bills with the dynamic receiving core of Zay Jones, Cole Beasley, and John Brown. Get excited, everyone. So that's the receiving core. What do you say? Titans-Bills. They lost to the Bills last year. They lost to the Bills last year in Buffalo, 13-12. It had me sweating their total for the entire year.
It's a revenge game, and your Titans are going to start off 4-1 because they're going to beat the Bills at home.
All right, we got to hustle through this the rest of this.
Yeah.
We're running out of time. Mm-hmm. At Denver, tough place to play.
Let's give them a 4-2 record. They lose at Denver.
Oh boy. That's a bad loss. So then they host the Chargers, maybe the best team in the NFL, the Chargers.
They lose 4-3.
Oh, boy. That Sorry. Killer. Then they host Tampa. We already said that that's a win. They're 5-3.
5-3.
At Carolina. That may be a tough one. That's a tough game at that time of year. First game of November. They're 5-3. They go to Panthers, and they, Joe, win or lose?
They lose. 5-4.
Oh, no, 5-4. This is the same old Titans. Then they host the Chiefs. I'm going to give them a big fat win right here. They're 6-4.
There you
then
go.
They host the Jaguars, 7-4. Then they go to the Colts. No chance they're winning that game. They are 7-5 right now. They're going to beat the Raiders, 8-5. Then they host the Texans, 9-5. Then they host the Saints. Then they host the Saints, loss. 9-6.
9-6.
And then at Houston, 9-7 again. These freaking teams are killing me.
What was the over-under? 8. What did Vegas say? 8.
8. All right. But this is the problem. It's every year. You sweat every game. They play close games all the time. It's why they keep ending up at 9-7.
Man. A couple of years. That was ago, good. I like that.
So, all right, we got the Titans over, the Bucks under. We'll come back. We'll do a little bit more of the future stuff. Maybe
MLB. Good stuff.
Right back after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We are back on FNTSY. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it. I'll be around until 2 o'clock today. Just talking with Cam Stewart and obviously talking with Joe Galina here for the next 40 minutes. I got a little tennis on in the background, although, we got a little. I don't know if you
French
watch
Open?
Tennis at all, Joe. Yeah, a little French
Open going
on.
I used to watch it more, but I do enjoy, watching. I used to enjoy playing it too, but we talked about LaFleur with the ACL. I don't think I could play the tennis Achilles. Much anymore. whatever it was.
Madison Keys in a 3-set match right here, where they're locked up in the third set. So American Madison Keys is going after it in a hard fought. Match right now. They're tied at 4 in the third set. Deuce in the third set. So this is a brutal one as they keep working their way through the middle rounds of the French Open right now. So, all right. Let's talk really quickly. We got hockey tonight. Cam can talk about this at length, and I'll do my best to keep up with him. But right now, the puck line right now. So you got St. Louis favored right now. They
really?
Are on the money line. Yeah, they obviously split 1-1.
Yeah.
In Boston. And now they're back.
Which I think was a surprise that St. Louis actually won, because I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he said that St. Louis had lost 13 straight Stanley Cup final games. I guess Cam will tell us if we're right.
It was
on
their
that,
first. But, I think it was their first ever Stanley Cup Finals win. If I
right.
That, no, or yeah. Wait, no.
Was
yeah,
it?
Well, the Raptors had their first ever NBA Finals win, and I think the Blues, it's their first ever Stanley Cup Finals win. They had been there before, maybe gotten swept. I believe I'm right about that. But right now, money line, they are minus 120. So favored going into the game tonight. Boston was on fire, clearly. They won game one going away, and it wasn't looking good for the Blues, but they come back with a big overtime win the other night. So that's on the docket for tonight, in addition to the Champions League final. We got French Open. We got plenty of baseball as well. As far as baseball is concerned, we'll get to the probable pitchers and stuff in the final segment. But for now, we're just going through some NFL futures, trying to figure out over-unders and all that kind of fun stuff. So Tennessee, we have over by a game. We have the Bucks under by a half game, but we feel like there's a little bit of cushion there with the Bucks. Now, let's just pull back for a second in that division, and I'll go to the divisions real quick of each of those teams. Right now in the AFC South, I think that's become obviously a very competitive division, but what is interesting is that Vegas and the odds are already dropping. So the Colts are plus 115 to win the division. The Texans are plus 240. The Jags are plus 380. And the Titans are plus 550. So the Titans have the longest odds to win that division. Very competitive division. I would probably predict the Colts to win that division at this moment. But I think the Titans have a chance to play as well as the Texans, and certainly better than the Jaguars.
Yeah, Jaguars obviously disappointed last year. I think they still have the base to have that really good defense, right? That, but
Telvin Smith is taking. He walked away from football this year. They're starting linebacker.
That's a good point.
Just decided to walk away, and they still have great talent all over that defense. But he's a key loss, and Paul Posluszny retired. So, you know, the linebacking depth from last year is immediately hurt.
Right. Well, I mean, looking at it, I'd say that Texans Colts fight it out again. Yeah, last year 11 wins for Texans, 10 wins for the Colts. Luck another year back from that that injury. I don't know. I could see the Colts winning this division.
Yeah,
but I think it's going to be that. Yeah, and I think we're accurate with that 9-win total on the Titans, because like you said, they just find a way to lose some games that maybe they shouldn't. So.
It is frustrating. And, you know, Mariota's not healthy the whole year last year.
Right.
And it put them in a bad position. But, you know, they coach pretty aggressively, which I like. I think the talent, there's plenty of talent on the roster. I was probably, I just thought the Matt LaFleur influence would have a bigger impact than it did. And with Mariota being hurt and them really, they lost a couple of brutal games. They lost to the Bills on the last play of the game on a field goal. Then they lost on the last play of the game to the Chargers in London when they went for two. Down one, they scored a touchdown. And on the last play or the game or the last play of consequence of the game, they went for two and missed it. So you play the games and they lost. There's no woulda, coulda, shoulda kind of stuff. But I still look back at it and say, you know, they were inches away from having 11 wins instead of 9, you know? Somebody could probably come back and say, well, they won this other game pretty luckily too, and they really should have had 8 losses. So it is what it is. But back over to the NFC South, and you have Tampa there, longest odds by far to win the division at plus 1,200, the Panthers at plus 650, the Falcons at plus 380, and the Saints at minus 230 to win the division. Of all of the teams and all of the future bets that I've seen to win the division, I believe my favorites are two. One, that the Chargers to win the division at plus 175, you can still have them at plus money, and the Falcons at plus 380 to win the division. I'm going to call my shot right now. I think the Falcons have a real shot to win this division. It won't surprise me if the Saints win it, but with that kind of number, that's the team I'm going to be leaning on. My dark horse out of the blue bet would be the NFC East, where where Washington is at plus 750 to win that division. People might think I'm nuts, but I could see some regression from the Eagles and the Cowboys. And in a division that's changed hands 14 consecutive years, I wouldn't be stunned if Washington was the one to slide in there right now. I do like the talent.
It could happen.
The roster.
Be a nice
like
bet. Get a nice payoff.
Although
and does Haskins take him there by the end?
Yeah. I don't know if Josh Norman's going to get cut today, but that's a risk. It's just a rookie quarterback. I don't know what the hell he's going to do.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you think that he'll be the starter by the end of the season?
I think he's the starter by week one.
Yeah, very possible.
I think he's the guy. I think he's out there. I think with a team that has enough talent on the roster to compete for a playoff spot, changing quarterbacks in the middle of the year is not a strategy I would embrace. I think you have to trust that Jay Gruden can bring a talented rookie that you've put a lot of assets into. You can teach him to come along. You can argue either way with me on this about about throwing a guy out there too early. I think throwing a guy out there too early is something like, I don't even really criticize this. Like, Josh Rosen didn't have a chance last year. They just kind of put him out there and let him see what he can do. And then they didn't help him at all. I think if you feel like you can't protect your quarterback and he's a rookie and a big asset, then don't do it. But I think if you are just saying, well, he needs a little bit more time to learn the playbook, you probably should have figured that out in the draft process. I want a guy that's going to be able to compete and come in and ready to play right away if I'm drafting him in the first round. Honestly, I probably feel that way about the second round. But I think that through this process and Haskins being in there, he should be able to work with Jay Gruden every day for 4 months straight and be ready to go. That's from the day he got drafted until August 25th. I think he should be ready to go and beat out Colt McCoy and whoever else they have on that roster. Alex Smith ain't coming back. So I think he's got to be good to go. And if you have that roster, you should be able to – it doesn't matter if it's a rookie. We've seen this now. Rookies can be really good. And Baker Mayfield turned the Browns around. I know they didn't make the playoffs, but they won 8 games. And that team was awful with Tyrod Taylor and Hugh Jackson in front of it. I don't blame Tyrod. I blame Hugh Jackson. It was awful. And he turned it around. If you surround the guy with enough, I don't love the receiving core in Washington, but if you surround the guy with enough,
that's what I was going
to
mention.
Be successful. Good offensive line. Darius Geis. They got. I get it. I don't love Josh Doctson either, but somebody's going to have to catch the ball, right?
Right. Maybe Jordan
Reed
can stay healthy?
Probably not, but
he's going to
have to. I know. Well, that's why they're plus 750. I'm not calling my shot on that one. My shot on Atlanta, but...
it's a nice bet, nice long shot. I love it in terms of the payoff and with the instability in this division. That's key as well.
Yes,
right.
That's what I'm looking at more than anything else. Philly is really good, but they don't have a ton of depth, and they have an injury-prone quarterback. Washington's got a pretty good roster top to bottom. I think they've done a really nice job building it defensively. The Josh Norman thing would surprise me, but we know why. They just paid Landon Collins a lot of money. The Alex Smith thing is hanging over their head. But I really like their depth defensively, and they drafted Montez Sweat, a pass rusher, late in the first round as well. So I think, I think that would be my long shot pick. Of the teams to win the division, I think that's where I would go, because some of the other ones, like the NFC North, the Vikings, Bears, and Packers are all really pretty close. the AFC West, I'm surprised the Chargers are still plus money, so I'd be on that. I wouldn't be on the Chiefs at minus money. The AFC North, that's Browns at plus 135, Steelers at plus 190, Ravens at plus 250. I think you're getting value there no matter who you pick, especially with the Steelers and the Ravens. AFC East, I think, is a walkover like it normally is. The NFC South, I've already said that I'm taking the Falcons at plus 380. And the NFC West, Rams at minus 195, Seahawks at plus 290, Niners at plus 500, Cardinals way, way, way longest shot to win any division other than the Miami Dolphins. So, yeah, that's it.
You think the Seahawks are ready to overtake the Rams this year? You think the Rams could take a nice little step back? Especially now, you know, look, it's no big surprise.
I think the Rams do take a step back. I don't know if that means that they lose the division.
Right.
They won the
division. Yeah, I mean, we heard Gurley's not going to be playing in the preseason, but the Rams just don't play their top players in the preseason. But we are concerned about – yeah. But we are concerned. I mean, I shouldn't say we. I'm a little concerned about Gurley this year.
Yeah.
You know, Darrell Henderson might end up you know, playing more than expected.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
I'm with you in terms of what you said before, in terms of teams avoiding playing their stars in the preseason. Why take the risk, right?
Yeah. So Seahawks are interesting there at plus 290. I think it's a lot to ask the Niners to win the division with Jimmy G coming off the injury and everything else. So there you go.
2 years. Give them 2 years.
Yeah, so we have time for – let's do one more win total. Why don't we do the Rams since we were just talking about them? The Rams over-under is 10.5. So they went 13-3 last year. Everybody knows they lost the Super Bowl because they played terribly. And here we go. Goff was bad. The team was bad. They scored 3 points. No excuses. You can't score 3 points and expect to win anything. So, especially not a Super Bowl. So here we go. They start out at Carolina, September 8th. Nice little Carolina, North Carolina heat. The Rams on the road to start week one. What do you got?
I'll give them a win.
All right. You like the Rams. You don't like Carolina. They then host the Saints week two. Pretty big matchup there out of the gate in the NFC.
And they host them, huh? I give them
a win. Home game. See, okay, so 2-0. Yeah. Then at Cleveland. That'll be Cleveland's like coming out party here.
Right. Roll.
So it's at Cleveland.
I'll you take this one. What do you think?
I'll give the Browns a win there. You know,
okay, Rams 2-1. All right,
the hype train. Then they host Tampa. You got to like that.
3-1.
Then at Seattle. Seattle has always played them tough.
Very tough.
The Rams
yes.
and Seattle have always played each other tough. I should say when Seattle was on top, the Rams played them tough. Even when Jeff Fisher was the coach, and now the roles have reversed slightly. Seattle a hard place to play. I'm going to say they're 3-2. Then October 13th, they host the Niners now. They're 3-2, hosting the Niners. I'll give them this.
They beat the 49ers.
It's a home game. Then they go to Atlanta. Everybody knows I'm having a love affair with the Falcons. They're 4-3.
4-3.
Then they host the Bengals. Let's make them 5-3.
5-3.
Bengals, tough season. Then
here's a tough one for you.
It's not very good. They'll be 5-4. I don't think the Rams going to Pittsburgh, I think that'll be a difficult game for them. People are ready to jump ship on the Steelers. I'm not yet, not because I'm a fan, but because they lost two dynamic playmakers. I think we saw, to some extent, that Le'Veon Bell's loss didn't impact them that much. The Antonio Brown thing, I'd be lying if I said it won't impact them. But I do think they'll be a good enough team to compete and be in the playoffs this year. I think they can win that division. It's a lot to ask the Browns to go from where they were to transforming into a division winner against two still legitimate teams in Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Pittsburgh got a home run of a first-round pick, in my opinion, that can help to fix the defense, which is the real problem with the team, not the offense, despite the infighting. So 5-4 here. The Bears.
I like Benny Snell, by the way.
Yeah, nice pick. Bears. Rams hosting.
So they're 5-4.
Then hosting. The Bears.
I say, After losing to Pittsburgh, I give them a win, so they're 6-4.
Okay. They host the Ravens.
That's a tough game, but I'll give them another win at home, 7-4.
By the way, coming out of their bye week at Pittsburgh, hosting Chicago, hosting Baltimore, that ain't easy in November for them.
Right, right.
It's not. 7-4 right now at Arizona, 8-4, hosting Seattle, 9-4. You got them on a run right here.
Yeah.
Then at Dallas, we'll give them a loss
there. Right.
9-5. Then at the Niners, I want to split that, 9-6. And then Arizona again. So you have them at 10. We have them at 10, I should say.
Right.
That's under. Under 10.5. We have them 10-6.
So it's like we said at the start of this conversation, that they take somewhat of a step back, but, you know, still 10 wins, nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, yeah. If we have time, maybe we'll do Seattle to see how they stack up against the Rams. But, yeah, look, there's a Super Bowl hangover for everybody except one team, whether you win or you lose. We saw Atlanta, you know, Philly came off the big win. They had some struggles last year through most of the year. Obviously, Wentz's injuries were a part of that. But we also saw them just not playing as well. They could have gotten the win. They could have, they snuck into the playoffs. They get the double doink win against Chicago. They played as well as the Saints, but lose that one on a late fumble. So Philly will be interesting this year. We'll come back. We'll close it out. We'll do a little bit of baseball after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Still didn't come up with his favorite video game character, despite me having asked that over an hour ago. Figure that out, Sean. Come on. Help me out. Trying to transition into Scott Fishbowl. So, all right. So let's do a little bit of MLB today. Find out who's throwing today and find out, you know, what you're, maybe I'll get you to watch this European soccer final, the Champions League final. Maybe we'll get you to watch.
I'll definitely throw it on. So. You've intrigued me. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. It's at 3 o'clock. I think I have to find out exactly where it's airing right now. I apologize for
maybe
not
Fox.
Off the top of my head. I think Fox, but Bleacher Report had purchased like all of the rights to the Champions League. So, yeah, it's not Fox. So I'm going to have to find it somewhere. I'll get that at some point. Maybe it's on the other Fox, FS1. Is it there? Nope. It isn't. So I have to track it down during one of these breaks. I have to track it down for myself, too. So, all right. So today, full slate, Twins, the major league leading Twins. Is that right? They still have the most wins, 38 wins. They are, man, the Yanks are chasing them down. They're both 8-2 in their last 10 games, though, the Yankees and Twins
right.
are. The Dodgers have the most wins right now at 39-19. But the Twins are slightly a half game in front as far as winning percentage is concerned. But the reason I was bringing that up is because we're looking at the games of the day. And we have, by the way, I was listening to Buster Olney's podcast, and they were talking about different MVP candidates. And in the National League, I think it's pretty clear that Cody Bellinger is there. Christian Yelich is in the discussion, clearly. But
absolutely.
Cody Bellinger's been on such fire that he's the clear front runner right now for National League MVP. Mm-hmm. 4 months ago, doesn't really matter what we think now. But in the American League, they were all split. The producer and Olney and Carl Ravitch each nominated one guy. Only, despite his recent injury, nominated George Springer. One of them nominated Jorge Polanco, and the other nominated Alex Bregman. So it's on my fantasy team, by the way, Joe, as you know. My first place fantasy team, as you know. You're not doing quite
I'm looking up at you. I'm looking.
A long way.
It's a long season, though.
It is a long season.
I think I'm 10-1 this week, so we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, you're the, you're the kudos to you, my friend. Becomes the mighty oak. Thank you. Thank you.
There you go.
So here we go. So the Twins are in front. So Jorge Polanco, Alex Bregman, and George Springer were some of the nominations. I would imagine if the Yankees continue at this pace and he continues to hit for the way he's hit for the last 5 weeks, Gleyber Torres can get himself in the mix as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or maybe Urshela. That's a joke, but the way that Gio Urshela has been playing at third has been
amazing.
He's
the most valuable player in a different kind of way. He's maybe the Yankees' most valuable player, along with Torres. Gio Urshela has really been amazing. So, all right, so back to the games of the day or the pitching probables. We have Gibson versus Chirinos, both pitchers off to a good start. Gibson's at 5-2. Chirinos, though, 6-1 with a 2.91 ERA. Yonny Chirinos has been a huge addition for fantasy owners. I thought Tyler Glasnow was good for Tampa. Chirinos is right behind him and isn't injured. So
my only issue with him, my only issue with him is every once in a while they use him as the. I think he's opened maybe once or twice, but you're right. I mean, 6-1, 2.91 ERA.
So he's 6-1. To your point, he's 6-1, but he's appeared in 11 games, 5 as a starter. Mm-hmm. This will be his 6th start. So he's obviously not been in a specific role. I'd imagine with Glasnow on the shelf, we'll see him in a regular starting role, even if it's just as an opener at times, not asking him to throw a lot of innings.
And I think in that league that we're in, he might help me rise from the ashes because I think he's on my staff. So come on, Yanni.
Glasnow got moved to the 60-day DL, which is not encouraging for my team.
What a shame!
But I'm going to keep him on the DL on the team for now.
Yeah,
but I can't absolutely imagine the news would be good because it was forearm tightness, and now they were going to have him rehabbing, and now they effectively shut him down. So we'll hear news on him.
Hey, I mean, if you're the Rays, and look, if it ends up having to be a Tommy John thing, easy for me to say because I'm not the one going under the knife, but if it's a Tommy John thing, get it done. This way he'll be back all that sooner, next year. Because you get Tommy John surgery, it's at least a year, right?
Yeah. But if you had surgery now, that's 2021. They're going to bring him back September of 2020. I don't think.
Yeah, unless they're battling the Yankees for the AL East title.
They might be. It's exactly the right counter. Yeah. That's exactly the right counter to what I was saying. So let's see any other good pitching matchups. Somebody I picked up on the waiver wire this week, he's available. And I did this because, and I understand what the drawbacks can be, but he's pitched well as of late, is Lance Lynn. So Lance Lynn's numbers, if you look at them now, don't look great at the forefront. It's 6-4. 6 wins is pretty good, but the 4.66 ERA isn't great. However, he does have 70 strikeouts in 67 innings. The whip is at 1.39, but really his last few games have been better, and the strikeout totals have been up. So that's why I took a shot. As I said, I lost Glasnow, so I've been kind of searching for somebody to go to right now. And I think I'm okay with it. So here's his last few outings, Joe. May 27th, 6 innings, 7 hits, 3 earned runs, 10 strikeouts. May 21st, 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 11 strikeouts. Previous outing, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 5 Ks. Previous outing, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 8 Ks. Then the one before that was 6 innings, 5 runs, only 3 strikeouts. But 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row, he's put together 4 good starts.
Yep. Baseball season We always talk about it, a marathon. It's just a bunch of hot streaks and slumps. And just to put the numbers that you put together just now into perspective, his last four starts, he has 34 strikeouts and 27 innings pitched and a 3.0 ERA. So not too bad.
And only six total walks, which the walks were killing him mm-hmm. earlier in the season. He had given up mm-hmm. five walks in that six-inning outing where he got shelled a little bit. But he's putting up some innings. He's putting up strikeouts, mm-hmm. and I'm okay with it. I understand the drawbacks
yeah.
he may have from Lance Lynn, but he's not ancient. He's 32. And
right.
in a baseball season, as you just mentioned, with ups and downs and all kinds of swings, you have to take shots on guys even when it doesn't work out.
Absolutely.
I can't right. remember
and
how
with guys like this, you just need to
– Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, with guys like this, you just have to keep on top of them just to make sure that, you know, if they're kind of a streaky player, just keep on top of them, because once that streak ends, you don't want to keep him in your lineup too long. But I apologize for interrupting you.
No, it's all right. You could either release him if you're feeling frisky or you're feeling confident. Or, frankly, you can take him out for a start or two if you have a league in which allows you to take him out of lineups. Right now, my roster is sort of filled. I barely have – but I can move him into bench spots or whatever and just give him a start or two off. The problem is with starting pitchers, mm-hmm. like – unless the guy's getting shelled every time out there, and at which point you're going to release him, you're just kind of hoping that the next start is the best one. I can't tell you how many times I got Kevin Gausman wrong a couple of years ago in a league because Gausman was having this crazy up and down, and he had the worst ups and downs. He'd give up eight runs mm-hmm. and get hammered, and then you bench him, and then the next time out, he spins seven and gives up two runs in a quality start. So there's guys like that that will also always be frustrating, but I think Lance Lynn is kind of an interesting addition. He was available in our league, which is a 14-team league with a lot of knowledgeable baseball guys. For those of you out there looking for an addition, if Lance Lynn is out there, I think he's somebody worth taking a shot on.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, ride him while he's hot.
And they're playing the Royals today. This is a very random tangent, but I think it was one of those things that I knew but had forgotten about, but my in-laws that live just down the street from me, they're moving to Texas this week. So, Godspeed, they're moving to Texas for the next few years for a job opportunity. And we were talking about the ballpark down in Arlington, and my brother-in-law was saying that he's motivated to try to get to some games because they are closing the Rangers ballpark. It's only 25 years old, right. but they're building a ballpark right next to it with a dome on top of it for obvious reasons. It's way too hot. They can't play day games mm-hmm. there. They feel as if it is a drain on attendance. Granted, the Rangers haven't been very good for the last year and a half, although they're playing above their heads at the moment. But it was one of those moments where it was like, oh, yeah, they're closing that stadium. It's only 25 years old, mm-hmm. but they feel like with the Jerry's Palace and Jerry's World literally right down the street, if you've ever been to Arlington, you can see how close they are. They are right down the street from one another. But they're going to build a new one right next door, put a dome on it, and they'll be able to play games any time of day. I think that could conceivably help the team, certainly help attendance and everything else. But it's sad to see that ballpark.
Talk about
Arlington,
keeping up with the Joneses.
New. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Good one. Nice pun. So it felt new almost for it to be closing. It's newer than Camden. It's newer than Guaranteed mm-hmm. Rate Field for the White Sox. Mm-hmm. The only one.
That's amazing.
Atlanta obviously moved, but that stadium for the Braves was really built in part for the Olympics. So that was a little bit of a different discussion, but it's sort of sad to see that one go so quickly because I think people, from what I mm-hmm. heard, the stadium had pretty decent reviews. It was a little wacky when it first mm-hmm. opened with the jagged walls and everything else. But so there we go.
With the cost of putting up a stadium, you would think foresight, right, when they built that 25 years ago. Look, we know that it's 120 in Texas in the middle of the summer. Why didn't you think about putting the dome back then? I mean, you know, it cost.
It's a great question.
What does it cost to put up a stadium these days? $1 billion?
Yeah. By the time it rolled around to the Astros to build a stadium, they obviously put a dome on it. They're not stupid. I mean, the weather in Houston's even worse than it is in Dallas, but it's not that much different. It's over 100 every day in both cities all summer long.
Right.
So you would think they would have had the foresight when the Astros. And I don't remember when Minute Maid opened, but I want to say like 2001. That's right. So 6 or 7 years later, it opened, and they put a dome on it. And all right, so keep going. Other pitching matchups for the day. Tanner Roark throwing for the Reds today. He's off to an okay start. 4-3, 3.20 on the season.
Yeah, he has been hot as of late. Another guy, let me just bring up because we're running out of time, that I thought might be a good Brandon Woodruff. Last six starts, 1.42 ERA for the Brewers. You mentioned the Brewers earlier. 178 batting average against during those six starts, 43 Ks and 38 innings pitched. Might not be a bad option in DFS lineups.
Yeah. How about the sneakiest option on the whole slate and a guy that I haven't heard talked about certainly all that much outside of baseball circles is Mike Soroka of the Braves. He is currently sitting at his last seven games. He's 5-0 with an ERA under 1, 45 innings pitched, 40 strikeouts in those 45 innings versus 13 walks. So he's 5-1 on the season with a 1.07 ERA, the whip. He's been a big fantasy addition, not somebody that was talked about a lot, but he's on fire. Certainly in the month of May, he had a crazy run where he only gave up 3 earned runs in the entire month of May, and that was 34 innings pitched.
Right. Opposing batters batting a 145 against them for the month of May. And, you know, that it's been an issue with me trying to figure out who the best Braves, young Braves pitcher to pick up, you know, was. And I kind of avoided Soroka because I was worried about his injury history. And even earlier in the season, in the preseason, you know, he had some issues with the injuries. But, yeah, he was the guy to roster, and I missed out on it.
Yeah, Verlander throwing today against the A's against Brian Anderson. You have DeGrom throwing against Zach Greinke. Jose Urena throwing against Margavicious. And then Kershaw throws tonight. So you have some big names on the slate here. DeGrom, Greinke, Verlander, Kershaw. What are your thoughts on DeGrom right now?
You know, what's my thoughts about just the Mets in general, right? I mean, look, you know, he's a guy that you got to, if you own him, you got to keep rolling him out there. I mean, there's no obvious issues that, you know, there's no injuries that we could see. I mean, it's just basically you just hope that he figures it out. To see him with an ERA of, what is it, like 3.7 or so? 3.71. It's kind of odd to see, you know, him pitching that way. But look, the whole Mets organization kind of in a tailspin right now.
Do you think Callaway? What's the Callaway diagnosis? Mickey Callaway.
They give him to Maybe they give him till the All-Star break.
I don't understand.
That was a whole weird thing. right. But it was a
if
whole
it's talked
weird
about
thing, just
that openly. And everybody knows, then just get rid of him.
Yeah. Hey, look, these are the Mets. They brought in a player agent to be the GM. I mean, that's a weird thing in itself, in my opinion.
And he was Cespedes' agent. So if the Mets had decided to sue Cespedes for getting hurt and retract that money, it would have impacted the agent's bonus, and that agent was Brody Van Wagenen. So it would have come full circle.
Did we ever find out what kind of a Did we ever find out what kind of ranch Cespedes owned in Florida? I didn't know there were ranches, you know, in Florida. I know you think ranches, you think Texas and whatnot, but I don't know.
But there's a lot of horses down in Florida. They do horse racing down in Florida, and I mean, I don't know what kind of farming is.
Poor
done
horses
down there.
Running the.
I'm
heat.
Really out of my depth there right now. I'm not a big rancher, as you may have known, growing up in Queens, New York. So I don't have a lot of ranch.
No ranches
knowledge.
In Queens.
Not that I'm aware of. I will ask Cam Stewart, maybe see what kind of ranch knowledge he has
there
on
you
the
go.
Other side. So, Joe, always good to hang with you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fun.
Joe will take his leave and celebrate Olive Day. Happy National Olive Day. And we'll be back next week.
In a martini.
At a new time next week, 9 to 12. I'm joining Cam after the break.